Welcome to the worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on this eighth Sunday after Pentecost. Today we are joined by the chair of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, and Dave Valerio, our musical director. So Wayne, please call us to worship.
Certainly. Come into this household of God that we might all listen to God's word and discern the wisdom that comes only from God. Reverence for God is the beginning of wisdom. When we choose to live according to God's will and plan, God will give each of us a wise and discerning heart. Come and worship. Interrupt our lives, O God, with stars we cannot refuse to see. Set before us today those life-changing possibilities which will send us on better paths than we have known. Go with us as we explore the mysteries of Christ. Fill us with awe and wonder, with joy and confidence, with generosity and praise. Reveal to us in new ways the promises of the gospel, that we may be bold to proclaim good news by the way we live. Teach us to pray from our hearts as Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Wayne. This is the time we share our announcements. I really don't have any today, so are there any that you would like to make?
I'd like to make one we're talking about getting into church again in the fall, September, October-ish, and there is going to be some information coming out in the August Triad, just a little blurb about how we're going to start choir. And so just choir members or people interested in the choir or interested in singing, just kind of check that out. It's going to be in the Triad in August. Just a little statement about where we're going to go and the direction we're going to head. So keep an eye out for that.
Good. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, Madison, what would you like to say?
I just got a quick question. I'll be at school most of the September. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you're going to still do Zoom or in person, like both ways.
As far as I know, when we get back into in-person, we're going to go to streaming, which is something you can at least watch.
Okay.
You know, you may not be able to, be in the same situation as we are in Zoom where you can ask questions like that, but we will be sure to get that information out as soon as we make that decision. Good question. Thank you. Any other announcements? If not, then Mr. Dave, would you like to introduce your music, please?
Yes. The first hymn we heard this morning that was played by Sherilyn and myself was Come Ye Thankful People. And we are a thankful people that we're at least able to get together and see each other and share in God's word. The song that we're going to sing is Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. And if you have a hymnal, it's number 103. And the words are going to get posted in the chat area. So if you go to the chat area and hit on that button, you'll see the lyrics. Starts with piano, and then I believe there's a little flute that plays the tune down, and then there's two verses. So let's all sing together, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Unhasting and silent as light, no wanting, no wasting, thou rulest in might. The justice like mountains soaring up above the clouds, which are fountains as goodness and love.
Thank you, Mr. Dave. This is the time we share our celebrations. Once again, I would like to celebrate our church family and all of the wonderful responses that you've made to help Sue Winship recover from her radiation and chemo treatments. She is doing better and better, and so I thank you for being there as a support system for her. We just were talking before the service began about a million and one birthdays. Let me see if I can remember some of them. Richard and Ron Goss had a birthday. Ed Dyer had a birthday. Kathy Wade also had a birthday. Any other birthdays you'd like to shout out, feel free to unmute yourselves and go for it.
I have an anniversary.
Okay, that's good enough.
My brother, his anniversary was yesterday.
His anniversary for what?
He's married to a husband, so.
Oh, okay. So it's a wedding anniversary. Very good. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else?
I was celebrating your memory still being intact, Reverend Carol, because you remember, you remembered all of those things.
I did. Did I? Well, it wasn't quite a million and one. It was what, five, four, three?
Hyperbole is still in your belly.
Oh, yes. I live with hyperbole. Okay. Thank you. Any other celebrations you'd like to mention?
Helene, who was Harry's mom, 89 this week.
Congratulations, Harry. That's wonderful. Anyone else?
As I mentioned a little bit earlier, my older son is here. He is celebrating Eric's birthday last Wednesday. He turned 33. So it was nice to see him. I haven't seen him for a little bit.
Very good. Now, does Eric get a whole month of birthday like some people I know?
You know what? I don't know, but I do. That's all that matters. I do. So
there you go. All right. Good for you, Tammy.
I celebrate the entire month. So he may follow suit.
Nothing wrong with that. Anything else anyone would like to celebrate?
There is one more thing I forgot to mention. My oldest son, who is engaged, his fiance ended up having to have unexpected surgery.
Oh, my.
But she came through it with no complications, so that's a joy.
Oh, good, good. That is a celebration. Hearing no others, then let me turn to our concerns as a church family. We pray this morning for people who are ill and others in need of prayer for whatever reason, and we include this morning in our prayer list Rich Goss's brother Tom out in Hawaii with cancer. We pray for Cher Follett, for Sue, who is recovering at home, for Marge Bobovoy and Sister Marge, for Tyler, for Len, who is at home and in hospice care, and his wife Nancy, of course. We pray for Lee, that's Tyson Bowles' sister, for Marie. Lee Ann Spooner is having foot surgery this coming Tuesday. Our thoughts and prayers are with her. Donna Shum took a pretty bad fall at home, but she is still at home. We remember Brigida, Linda Ryder, and Ben Goffin. Joe Brigham's mother, Betty Brigham, doing much better at home. Jennifer, Loretta, AJ from the Bishop Fan Hockey group. Ed and Janet Dyer, who are at home, to my knowledge. And those who are in the nursing homes, Jackie Glass, Carolyn Farrell, Doris Brunel, they have been in our prayers for some time. And we have added also Bob Krajewski, who is Debbie Trowbridge's husband, had an amputation, and he is at Harriton Hills in Smithfield, Rhode Island. So our thoughts and prayers go out to the Trowbridge family. I mentioned last week that I had the opportunity to have lunch with Chris White. And the very next day she got news that Steve's father, Russell White, passed away. So our thoughts and prayers are with the White family as well. And of course, we continue to pray for an ending to this pandemic. We pray for those who suffer from addictions. We pray for the well-being of our nation, and we pray for our communities. So please join with me in a prayer for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are the God of all ages and peoples. You are the one from whom we come and to whom at last we return and in whom we live on this planet Earth. It is only right that our thoughts turn to you on this Sunday and every day. Whether we are young or old in age, we are all old by nature. We are stiffened by habits and presumptions that guide our lives. The decades come and go, and we are aware of our own failures and weaknesses. So we ask your forgiveness and your redemption and the fulfillment of your promise to make in us all things new. Subject us to discipline and grow us into faithful husbands and wives, diligent parents, open to learning children, helpful citizens, honest workers, and faithful Christians. Hear us as we state our concerns about family and friends, the ill, the lost, those who struggle to meet everyday needs. Make your presence known, especially to the people we have mentioned today, as well as those whose names we now speak out in your presence and during this time of silence. Draw us even closer to you and guide us in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
The Gospel of John records this miracle, as do each of the other Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke present it simply as an event. John always does some interpretation of the events to strengthen his belief and writes so all people might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and thus have life in his name. I'll be reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Please hear these words. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up to the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are those among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. You may never have heard of Leo Szilard. Neither had I, but he has influenced all of our lives. Leo Szilard was a theoretical physicist born of Jewish parents in Budapest, Hungary in 1889, and he was involved in the very beginning stages of atomic energy. On September 12, 1933, he was in London reading The Times, which reported on a leading group of scientists who had concluded that anyone who looked for a source of power in the transformation of atoms was talking moonshine. And this statement upset him very badly. He said, "Pronouncements of experts to the effect that something cannot be done have always irritated me." And he tossed down the newspaper and he went to lunch. All through lunch, he thought about splitting neutrons. And on the way back to work, Szilard stopped for a red light across from the British Museum. I don't know what you think about while you're waiting for a light to change, but he said that as he stood there, "It occurred to me that neutrons, in contrast to alpha particles, do not ionize the substance through which they pass." I have no idea what that means, none whatsoever. But to Szilard, he knew by the time that the light had changed back that it was the start of the nuclear age. He had to go back and work with his partner, who was one of those naysayers. His name happened to be Albert Einstein, which I think you know that name pretty well. And Albert Einstein asked him if he had had a good lunch. And Leo reported that, well, he had a quite original idea during lunch. Einstein thought it was impossible. It was something that could not be done. Szilard said, "Yes, but I did it." Einstein said, "How?" 5 or 10 minutes later, Einstein understood and he said, "Wow, you had an incredible lunch, an incredible lunch." The Gospel of John reports on another incredible lunch. This miracle is so important that it is one of the few reported in all 4 of the Gospels. As you heard, Jesus had crossed the Sea of Tiberias, also known as the Sea of Galilee, and has climbed a small hill and is preparing to share lunch with his disciples. But the multitudes who have seen him perform miracles had followed. 5,000 people, we are told. So here it is, lunchtime. Jesus knew that it happened to, that there was nothing that could be done, it seemed, to all those people. 5,000 guests and there's not a caterer in sight. But Jesus knew that it could be done. But the disciples, like those scientists, were thinking, "No way." So he asked the disciples, it says, as a test, how they can feed the multitude. And Philip says, "Even 200 denarii." 1 denario was a day's labor. So that was like over, almost a year's worth of labor, would not be enough to feed this mob. The disciples find a little boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, but they're not very impressed. Jesus instead told them all to sit down because lunch was being served. He distributed the fishes and loaves, and everybody got enough. In fact, there were even leftover baskets, 12 of them. Now that's an incredible lunch. What a fantastic story. Feeding 5,000 people with just 2 fishes and 5 loaves. Our scientific minds demand a practical explanation. I have a feeling you've heard as many sermons about this miracle as I have, and there's been any number of explanations. Maybe everyone really had brought some lunch and it was a miracle of sharing. Maybe the disciples located a passing caravan with food and brought enough for the crowd. Maybe the boy with the original fishes and loaves went home and got more. Really? For 5,000 people? I don't think so. I think most of us realize that in our nation right now, we are in a crisis of belief and perception. Half of the country believes science and gets vaccinated. Half believes that there is no pandemic and all vaccines are evil. It's very human for us to depend on a worldview we have carefully nurtured our whole lives and how we all like to explain things away. But you know what? There are even flaws in scientific theory. Those of us who accept science and faith can get tied up in the fallacy that things must be explained in terms of their origins and earlier stages rather than in terms of their fully developed state, which we have not yet seen. In our worldview, it is assumed that the original form, for example, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, are nearer to reality than are the multiplied fishes and loaves. But it is the 12 baskets of leftovers that are closer to the point than the 7 items that started this whole incredible meal. In fact, we never find out what a fully developed reality is by discovering what it was and what it began to be. Looking for causes leaves out the vast basketfuls of remainders. Aristotle said it this way: the true nature of a thing is the highest that it can become. What it boils down to this is this: the potential was there. It just had to be realized, and that took faith. Somebody had to believe it could be done. Just as Leo Szilard believed it was possible to sustain a nuclear reaction, just as Jesus believed it was possible to feed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Mother Teresa, who did so much work among the poor in Calcutta, claimed that money and food were never really the issue. It was the hopelessness of having no faith in anything at all. When we receive what God has to offer us, we discover that God is a wondrous provider for our needs. One of the lessons Christ tried to teach us was the extravagance of God. God is the one who provides in abundance, who sets before us a table in the midst of our enemies, who fills our cup to overflowing, who, when wine is needed for the wedding feast, tells us to fill the water pots and fill them to the brim. The God who, when the prodigal son returns home, kills the fatted calf and throws a big party. We have become so cynical and fearful. And if we have, then we don't really trust in God's goodness. We think we are still in control of everything. And how many of us are so busy messing around with lesser priorities that we spend our whole life disconnected from God? Time with God should not be a burden. It's what we were made for. We find our identity, our purpose, our strength, and our wisdom in spending time with God. There's an old story about a man who was waiting for a bus to Pasadena. In the bus station, he spotted a machine that was advertising, "Your height, your weight, your fortune, only $1. He couldn't pass up a deal like that. So he popped in $1 and stepped on the scale, and out popped a card that read, "You're 5'10" tall, you weigh 160 pounds, and you're waiting for the bus to Pasadena." And the man was amazed. How could a machine know that much about him? So he got a bright idea to fool the machine. He went to the men's room and changed his appearance. He turned his cap around backwards, put on some sunglasses, turned his shirt inside out, pulled a jacket out of his duffel bag. And finally, he stuffed that jacket with rolls of toilet tissue so he would look heavier. Then he went back out and stepped on the scale again. And another card popped out. It read, "You are 5'10" tall. You weigh 160 pounds. And while you were wasting time in the men's room, you missed the bus to Pasadena." No, we don't trust that God knows our needs. And so we are stingy towards God. We are stingy towards others. We're sometimes so wrapped up in ourselves that we miss God's extravagant welcome and the abundance that is set before us. A group of children was asked to describe what abundance meant to them. Little Allison, age 7, said, "Abundance is an extra bowl of ice cream and getting to stay up late and laughing a lot." Emily, age 9, said, "Abundance means I have as many books as I want to read and lots of warm clothes for the winter time, and it means that there will always be lots of love." But this is the one that hit home for me. Brian, age 10, said this, "Abundance means we have everything we need, even though we don't have everything we want. It makes me feel safe." Every miracle Jesus ever performed, including this one, was meant to show us the priorities or the nature of God. Potential resides in just about everything. There's more to your spouse and your marriage than you can possibly realize. There's more to your child, your children, than you can possibly realize. There's more to your job than you can possibly realize. There's more to your life than you can possibly realize. And there's more to your faith than you can possibly realize. Let us then thank God for all the abundances showered upon us. And let us, as people and as a church, continue to work towards the potential that is still to come for ourselves and for our church. Amen. May the grace, mercy, and wisdom of God be our support, our guidance, and our strength from this day forward and forevermore. Amen. Please stay around and we can chat for a while for our virtual coffee hour.